Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, August the 13th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our prayer today. We're grateful for all of the love that you show us. We're thankful for all that you reveal to us in advance, so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit today, and allow us to understand those things that you would want to teach us, so that we might walk according to your will and be obedient to your cause. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our subject today is contentment. Contentment. And of course, we're still in Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published 1889. Question. What does the apostle say is great gain? 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." With what are we exhorted to be content? Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And of course, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Question. Concerning what does Christ tell us not to be anxious? Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32 says, "Be not therefore anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." That's, of course, Matthew 6, verses 31 and 32. "Live not in careful suspense, therefore, of all these things, for God will indeed supply your needs." What evils befall those who are determined to be rich? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." By what illustrations did Christ teach contentment? Luke 12, verses 24 through 28 says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" So what lesson is contentment did Paul say he had learned? Philippians 4 and verse 11 says, "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Question. What ancient promise should lead to contentment? Genesis 8 and verse 22 says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." That's Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Upon whom should we cast all our care? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That's 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Contentment produces, in some measure, all those effects which the alchemist usually ascribes to what he calls the philosopher's stone. If it does not bring riches, it does the same thing by banishing the desire for them. If it cannot remove the disquietudes arising from a man's mind, body, or fortune, it makes him easy under them. A contented mind sees something good in everything. Fair weather in every wind, blessings in every storm. If we cannot get what we like, we should try to like what we get. There is no malady more severe than habitual discontent. If you cannot frame your circumstances in accordance with your wishes, frame your will in harmony with your circumstances. A contented mind is a continual feast. Review and Herald, September the 19th, 1899, under the heading, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, beginning at paragraph 1, says this: God calls upon us to work for him in a world of sin, where men are given to idolatry. They have no thought of their obligations to their Creator. They act as if they had created themselves and their blessings. God bestows his bounties upon the evil and upon the good. To all he gives sunshine and showers of rain. He carefully watches the seed put into the soil, that from it may spring the living germ. But very few have any realization of the blessings bestowed on them. From day to day, they receive these blessings, but they do not recognize the source. Still less do they realize the greatness of the gift of God's only begotten Son. If they only comprehended the sacrifice made in order that our world might be blessed with the light of truth, how many conversions would be made in a day? How many would rally around the standard of the Redeemer? Are we, as members of the Lord's family, striving to be among the number who shall walk with him in white, because he finds in them true obedience? The testimony of the one who strives earnestly for the crown of life may be that which studies for eternity. His steady purpose will not only aid himself, but will help others to practice industry. The Lord will cooperate with the worker who puts his heart into the work, who walks in all humility of mind. Such a worker will work in the love and fear of God. A sense of the gratitude due to God will lead him to improve every opportunity for expressing thanksgiving, which will be accepted as a testimony of loyalty. Faithfulness towards God in the performance of good works will bring God's blessing. As we show ourselves faithful in fulfilling our trust, our influence leads others to do likewise. They are filled with thanksgiving and praise to God as the one to whom praise is due. Those who are not with us in the faith are given a practical evidence of the power of the truth to sanctify the natural selfish heart. By earnest, faithful work, the gospel is to be carried to regions beyond the cities and towns, into the byways and highways. And as souls are converted, let all glory be given to God. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Earnest efforts should be made to present before men and women the example that Christ has led them in his life of sacrifice. He laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown, and yielding up his high position as commander of the heavenly host, he clothed his divinity with humanity, and for our sake became poor, that we through his poverty might come into possession of eternal riches. Paul writes to Timothy, Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Who will take these words into the inmost soul, and for Christ's sake, for their soul's sake, awake to the perils that are threatening all who fail to find refuge in Christ? The apostle continues, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and holy potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and glory and power everlasting. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Christ declares, He that will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those who have on the wedding garment, the robe of Christ's righteousness, will not question whether they should lift the cross and follow the footsteps of the Savior. Willingly and cheerfully, they will obey his commands. Souls are perishing out of Christ. How inconsistent, then, is all striving after position and wealth? How feeble are the motives which Satan may present, which selfishness and ambition can furnish, in comparison with the lessons which Christ hath given in his word? How worthless the reward the world offers besides that offered by our Heavenly Father. John writes, After this, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, and all nations of all kindreds and towns and people and towns stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and it shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that they are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art neither cold nor hot, and lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee of me to buy gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These words are being fulfilled today. Read and understand the revealed truth of God. A heavenly watcher marks our words and deportment and reads the motives that prompts us to action. We have no time now to be idle and indifferent. We must strive to develop a Christian character. Our spiritual understanding must be cleansed, purified, sanctified, and ennobled. All are now taking sides. It is ours now to choose a blessing or a curse. Now is the time for us to purify our minds by obeying the word of God. Today, God is calling you to obey that which he has given, to follow closely all that he has instructed. May God bless you as you obey that which he has given. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you continue to do for us. We thank you that we can trust in you implicitly and follow you closely in every regard. We give ourselves entirely to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, August the 13th, 2021.